Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Phyllis, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We always take a moment and let you know about Mount Lebanon and invite you out if you are visiting in the area, if you are live in the area, maybe looking for a church home. We are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We have our Sunday school Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for all ages. And then our Sunday morning worship service at 11. And every Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. And we have Vacation Bible School coming up. This is starting Sunday night, June the 11th. And it'll go through Thursday night, with commencement being on Friday night. We always have a big turnout for that. We're looking forward to this year's Vacation Bible School. We have a lot of folks involved, teachers, people that prepare meals and things like that. We do have an adult class this year. If you would like more information, you can call our church phone number, 963-4596. That is 963-4596. Good to see Noah in here today. Hope you're having a good day so far.
I am happy to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450, WATA, and 96.5 FM out of Boone, North Carolina. Our listeners on AM 690, WZAP, out of Bristol, Virginia. And then those listeners on 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and if you are a regular listener, you know we have been studying now, or we've been talking about a subject here on Blessings of Liberty. This is the fourth week that we've done this, or the fourth part. We've been talking about the subject of war, and that's a different subject, and really, I'd never really thought about it very much before, until just a month or maybe 2 months ago I started thinking about the subject. You know, today, June the 6th, is the 73rd anniversary of D-Day. And D-Day, or the invasion of Normandy and the Allied forces, and 73 years ago, a huge attack, and really made a course or a turn in the course of World War II. And so today is that anniversary. And so we were thinking about that this morning. But if you think about blessings of liberty, liberty would not be possible without war. And you think about America. America is literally the result of war. And talking about the American Revolutionary War. And then the way things are in the world today, the freedoms that we have in the Western world and really other places in the world are a result of war. World War I, World War II, and so war, as bad as it is, and for the most part, you know, everybody would agree, war is bad, and it is. And, you know, we certainly would like to avoid war and not go to war. But when you look back on history, we'd also have to agree that sometimes war is necessary and sometimes it has a good outcome. And so as bad as it is, there's the other side of it. It is an absolute necessity in the world that we live in. If there were no wars, the world would be under tyranny all the time, every nation, if there even was such a thing. And people think, you know, if you didn't do anything, that everybody would just get along and, you know, enjoy rainbows and Lucky Charms and all that kind of stuff. But that's not how human nature is. There's always, down through history, there's always been a tyrant, and there's always been, from time to time, a revolution, a people that did not want to live under that, and they would make a sacrifice for their own selves, for their children, for their posterity. And so when you think about the blessings of liberty, you have to think about the part that war has played in that. And for example, we began this study looking in the Bible. We began looking in Genesis chapter number 14. And I called Genesis chapter number 14 the war chapter. I'd never really paid much attention to Genesis chapter number 14. You would think, you know, it's not a highlight. Of course, it's all there for a reason. But there's something interesting about Genesis chapter number 14. It's the first time the word war is mentioned in the Bible, the first time the word battle, the first time the word smote, confederate, talking about different people getting together and fighting for a cause. You find the word captive the first time, the word armed the first time in the Bible, the word trained. Abraham had trained servants in his household. And so we call that the war chapter. And what happened there is that Abraham's nephew, Lot, is taken captive. He is a POW. He's the first prisoner of war in the Bible. And Abraham takes his small army of trained servants. And as I study about that, they were trained militarily. They were trained to fight. And he takes this small contingent of 300 people, and he goes out and he rescues Lot. And so the very first wartime mission that we find in the Bible was a sacrifice by one party to deliver and set free another party of people. That is the first place that enemies is mentioned in the Bible. That's plural, but not enemy as singular. And so if we find the first time enemy or enmity actually is what it is, first time you find that word enmity in the Bible, you have to go back to the first messianic prophecy in the Bible. And what we're doing today, we've said several times, you know, if we want to get a correct viewpoint of something, we need to learn what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches about it. And that will help us interpret history, and that will help us look forward, because the Bible has many prophecies in it. Many have been fulfilled. In fact, all, I mean, the Bible is 100%. You know, it's not 50-50. It's not 75%. It's 100% accurate when it comes to its prophecies. So that being the case, and many prophecies have already been fulfilled, that being the case, we have no reason to believe that the ones yet to be fulfilled will not be 100% accurate. And that's the amazing thing about the Bible. And in fact, the Bible says about the Bible that the reason God gave prophecy, or the reason that God told things beforehand, is that we might believe, that we might see the accuracy of it. So we go back to the very first prophecy in the Bible, the very first messianic prophecy or prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah, and it's in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 15. And God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And he is speaking to Satan there in the Garden of Eden. And he said, I will put enmity, enemy, hatred and variance between thee, talking about Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so, in a very real sense, war is an overflow. War began in heaven. That's the first place that you find a war taking place, is in heaven. And I'm going to read just a little bit here. If I can find it, I'm going to read out of Isaiah chapter number 14. And I want to read a little bit about that first war that took place. And there was a rebellion in heaven. And the Bible talks about this in Isaiah chapter 14. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but it's talking here about Lucifer. And it said in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And so Lucifer had an idea that he would overthrow the God of heaven. And it prophesies here, it talks about him being fallen from heaven. And the Bible teaches that Lucifer was cast out of heaven because of his pride, because of his rebellion. And it said in verse number 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house." And so it talks about Lucifer and him being cast down, and that the kings and the rulers of the nations of the earth would look upon him, and they would say, "Is this the one?" And basically what they're saying there, is this the one that caused all the problems? Is this the one that destroyed the nations? Is this the one that made the world a wilderness? And so what we're saying today is that this first war that took place, this first battle that took place in heaven, Satan was cast down to the earth, and in this war in heaven spilled over into the world that we now live in. It spilled over into the Garden of Eden, and the world has had war ever since. And there will be war from here on out. I was reading just the other day, I'm reading through my Bible again this year. I'm in the book of Matthew, and in the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus is prophesying there. And in Matthew 24 and verse number 6, it said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." And so the Bible prophesies, and that was the Lord Jesus speaking there in the book of Matthew. "There shall be wars and rumors of wars, and nation shall rise against nation." And you know, that's been the state of things. That's been the, if you study world history, you are studying the history of one war after another, one uprising after another, one set of kings overthrows another set, and on and on and on. And we see the same things happening in the world today. We have had physical wars ever since man has been upon the earth. But behind all these physical wars, and if you don't understand this, you really will never get a good understanding of why war, and what is all this fighting about. Behind all the physical wars, there's always a spiritual battle that is going on, because behind every war there is a battle between God and Satan. There is a battle between light and darkness. There is a battle between good and evil that is always going on, between freedom or bondage and tyranny that is going on. And so the history of the world is a history of that. Good and bad, light and dark, bondage and freedom, and on we could go. And so God prophesied in the very, very beginning, Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 15, that there would be enmity. And who is behind this enmity? Satan is behind this enmity. There the Lord prophesied of the Messiah, that the Messiah would come and bruise his head. And so the very first messianic prophecy in the Bible is prophesied victory on behalf of the Messiah that would come. And that victory has already been won. Now, that battle took place when Jesus was upon earth, when Jesus went to the cross, where he died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. That's the ultimate victory. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 says, and it's talking about Christ there, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." And so talking about when Jesus rose from the dead, he triumphed over that. That means he got the victory. He spoiled principalities and powers. And that's why when we preach the gospel, When we look at things, the Lord Jesus Christ said, John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so if you are made free, if you are made free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of Satan, you are free indeed. And if you are made free by Christ, then you are free indeed. And that is why it doesn't matter. You could live in a communist country. You could live in a Muslim country. You could live in a socialist country, a democratic country, a republic. It does not matter. If you have freedom in Christ, you have the ultimate victory. And you have been set free from the worst bondage, the worst enemy, and that's sin and death, ultimately. And so that's the battle behind all the other battles. But all the other battles are a reflection of that first battle. And so we think about these things. If we keep that in mind, and I said all that to say this, if we keep that in mind, we'll have a biblical viewpoint. What's going on in the world? Why all this fighting? Why all this fussing? Why can't people get along? Well, there's been a battle raging ever since the beginning of time. And Satan is a destroyer. And John chapter number 8, Jesus said that Satan was a murderer and a thief and the father of lies. And he's constantly in the destroy mode. And so we are always going to have these wars, rumors of wars, threatenings of wars. And we're always going to have nation rising up against nation. Of course, there is coming an end to that. But all these things are going to have to play out first. We talked about the nation of Israel. You study about the nation of Israel, and you will study a history of war. You will find a history of bondage and freedom. And if you read the Old Testament, well, you read the Bible, you'll find over and over and over again referred to God delivering the children of Israel from the nation of Egypt. And Moses led them out with a strong hand and parted the Red Sea and delivered them. And they were delivered by the Passover lamb, the blood of the lamb. And that is brought up in the Bible over and over and over again. They were in bondage. God set them free. What set them free? There was a war had to take place. And the Lord got the victory. You find it in the book of Judges. You find it in the Babylonian captivity, and on and on and on we could go through the Bible. So we talk about the nation of Israel, and we said this about the nation of Israel. And this has really helped me in studying about World War I, World War II, and the events that are going on in the world today, because the nation of Israel is God's compass. It points to where we are on a prophetic timeline. It points to where we are as far as what the Bible says is going to happen to the nation of Israel. And so the nation of Israel is God's compass as far as prophecy being fulfilled and future prophecy is concerned. What I mean by that, people try to find America in the Bible all the time. But let's just be honest, America is not mentioned in the Bible. There's a lot of comparisons. There's a lot of, and I preach a lot of, ways that we can compare. But you don't find America mentioned in the scriptures as far as the word. But you sure do find Jerusalem. You sure do find Israel. All through the Bible, God is concerned with the nation of Israel. We don't find China as far as the word China mentioned in the Bible, India, on and on we could go. But over and over, God talks about Israel, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. And so that is God's compass as far as prophecy is concerned. And we've talked about World War I. Right now is the 100-year anniversary of America entering into World War I, or the War of 1914-18, the Great War, the war to end all wars. And, we've talked about that, and we're continuing to say a little bit about that. You see, the events of World War I are very significant when it comes to prophecy and the nation of Israel. And so we study World War I. Where were the Jews? What was happening with the nation of Israel during World War I? Well, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, by Titus, in A.D. 70. And after that, after Jerusalem was destroyed, the Jews were dispersed. They were spread abroad throughout literally the whole world. Now, all of this was prophesied beforehand. Jesus Christ told them that was going to happen. And I was reading there in Matthew chapter number 24. I'm going to read another couple of verses. The Bible said in Matthew 24, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." And so if you can imagine in your mind being in the Holy Land right now today, where you saw last week President Trump was over, he went down to the Wailing Wall, and right there in Jerusalem you have the Temple Mount, you have the Muslim mosque there, the Rock of the Dome. That same area, Jesus and the disciples went out onto the hillside. They looked over, saw the temple, saw the wall around Jerusalem, and all those things. And the disciples, they're making a big deal out of this. Hey, look at this great view. Look at all these things. And verse number 2, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, can you imagine somebody going out and getting up on a hillside and looking over Washington, D.C., the White House, and the views that are there, or going up to New York City or somewhere like that and looking out over the view and saying, you know, all of this is going to be destroyed. There'll not be left one stone upon another. But do you know that is exactly what took place within 40 years of Jesus Christ uttering those words? Jerusalem was literally destroyed. And the interesting thing about that is that when Titus invaded Jerusalem, and there had been a siege and a long drawn out thing, and finally they get to the point they're going to overrun the Jewish people, they're going to take them captive, and Titus gave the order not to destroy Jerusalem. And so that was the official word. We're not going to destroy it. We're going to keep it intact. They wanted to keep it intact as a trophy city. And just like today, it's a big deal. Well, it was a big deal even then. But in the confusion of war, one thing led to another thing. And before it was over, the temple was destroyed and the city was ransacked. And even though the Roman emperor said not to do it, it ended up doing, because Jesus said, he said, not one stone is going to be left upon another. Isn't that interesting? Well, 1900 years after that, you have the Jewish people dispersed. And that is why you have pockets of Jewish people all over the world. They've literally, according to the Bible, been dispersed around the world. And you find Jewish people in places you wouldn't think. You find them in Africa. You find them in Cuba. You find them in Australia. You find them in Russia. You find them all over Europe. You find them in America, in Canada, in everywhere. Everywhere. The Bible said the Jews would be dispersed. They would be scattered worldwide. And that literally took place. And they remained dispersed for 1900 years. It is a miracle that the Jewish people survived as a people. All of their contemporaries, if you look in the Bible, have either ceased to be or been swallowed up into the other nations. What I mean, you don't find any Babylonians, Assyrians today. Even the people in Egypt, they're not the same people as the ancient Egyptians, the Moabites, the Amalekites, and all the different, the Perizzites and all them. All those people are gone. All those ancient people have disappeared, but the Jew has remained. all through the centuries, they kept their language, they kept their culture, they kept their identity as a people, they kept their alphabet, their literature, all of these things. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 12, "And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." God prophesied in his word that he would bring these people back together once again from the four corners of the earth. Now, what's that got to do with World War I? What's it got to do with Germany, France, Russia, America, all of that? What part did that play? The result of World War I. On December the 10th, 1917, Jerusalem fell into the hands of British forces. They had been under the domination or the dominion of the Ottoman Empire, a Muslim empire, the Turkish Empire. But throughout the fighting of World War I, Jerusalem fell under the power and the influence of the British Empire. General Sir Edmund Allenby. Now, most invading forces, if you look and know about Europe, they bombed, they destroyed. That was their modus operandi. That's what they did. They went in and destroyed and conquered these cities. But the General Allenby made a decision not to bomb Jerusalem. What he did, he sent his bombers over in a show of force, in a show of strength, and they flew so low that it rattled the silverware on the tables, and it just morally, the city, they surrendered without a shot being fired. Now, here's what the Bible says in Isaiah 31 and 5. This is interesting. The Bible says over there, "As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it." That is exactly what happened. The bombers flew over as birds fly over, and in defending it, it was preserved. They surrendered. Jerusalem fell under the control of the British Empire, not the Ottoman Empire, and that set off a chain of events leading to what is today modern-day Israel. But that is the beginning of it. And since then, it was sort of like for 1900 years, the clock had stopped concerning Israel. But as a result of World War I, the clock of prophecy began to tick again. And so just a few short years after that, we see the rebirth of the nation of Israel after 1900 some years of being dispersed. That is a miracle, and it was prophesied in the Bible. And there's all this talk today, and these politicians just, they talk all the time, you know, about being on the right side of history. Well, you can't talk about being on the right side of history when you're living in it. The only measurement of being on the right side of history, when it really comes down to it, is what you did with the nation of Israel. Genesis 12 and 3 said, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." God made that promise to Abraham. And so we find that these wars play a part in prophecy and the nation of Israel. Well, I appreciate you listening in today. I hope you got something out of it. It encourages my faith. God's word is true. And so appreciate you listening. Noah's going to come and give her contact information today. We appreciate him so much.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website and through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Our website is www.mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.